Louise McSharry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.
There is no doubt that our new normal has meant that people are turning to new ways to keep themselves entertained, connected, and sometimes, let's be honest, just distracted from what's going on in the outside world. Gaming online, on our phones, and just on our personal computers has long been a popular hobby, but now it is growing even further, and a game was just released. I feel like I'm going to say it wrong. That's how little I know. But it's called Animal Crossing. Everybody's playing it. And here to explain it to me is lifelong gamer and author Sarah Griffin. So I feel like I'm like, how do you do, fellow kid? I feel so out of touch when I talk about this stuff. And it's really mortifying for me. So Sarah, help, please. What is an Animal Crossing?
What is an Animal Crossing? It probably feels to a lot of people like it came out of nowhere, but it's been cooking in the oven for quite some time. It's the fifth game of its kind. It's a Nintendo game where you, a villager, a person, yourself, moves into a new town and starts a life. That is all that happens.
So you're telling... Wait, what? That's it?
Your neighbors are little animals, you buy a home, you pay your mortgage, you catch fish, you gather fruit from trees, you can reorganize the island gradually, you sort of become a civil servant who installs fountains and bridges. It's very peaceful. It's very peaceful.
Okay, so I can completely understand why under the current circumstances you would want to start a new animal life where you gather fruit and make friends with your neighbors. But like, why normally would that be attractive?
I'll tell you what, like when you pitch it blank, it sounds excruciatingly boring.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. It's like, sorry, I have to pay a mortgage in a game.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly. Like, why would I file my paperwork?
That's not, you know, I don't, what? But it's very, very peaceful. The music is lovely. The visual aesthetics of it are very pleasing. It's an antidote to the stress of every day.
Okay.
It's a non-violent game. So the vast majority of video games, purely from necessity, I think, even when you think of the original Space Invaders and things like that, if you press a button and something happens on screen, a very easy way to, you know, design that is to have a bullet coming from a gun or some violent action happen, right? Mm. This game is anti-violence, nearly. It doesn't have an ethos or any politics necessarily, but it's very pacifist and very relaxing. And I think that's what draws people to it again and again. It allows people to have a peaceful, quiet life somewhere where nothing bad is going to happen. Mm. Nobody is like assuring you aggressively nothing is bad is going to happen. It's not dystopian or creepy in any way. It's like a balm, you know? It's very, very calming.
And tell me, Sarah, how are you doing in your village?
My village is doing pretty well. I have four neighbours. One is a chicken, one is a koala, one is a penguin, one is a bear. Yeah, we're having a great time.
I love this. I want to do this now. Now, I mean, really on the basics. So if someone's listening and they're like me and they're like, oh my God, that actually sounds delightful. I would really love to sink myself into that land. How do you do it? Like, what do you need?
It's a game on the Nintendo Switch, but I believe at the moment the Nintendo Switch is very, very hard to get your hands on, both because Animal Crossing was hotly anticipated for many years. A lot of people were playing Animal Crossing privately, if you will, on the Nintendo DS and on the GameCube. And it's an old game. It's been around for a long time, but it was always played before the advent of social media. So people weren't really sharing memes or sharing jokes or talking about it too much.
Okay.
But the one that's just been released on the Nintendo Switch has a visual sharing component in it so that you can post screen caps straight from the game onto your social media. So people who are playing in public. So it's visually and it's quite obviously a popular game, whereas before it was sort of underground, I guess. It's the opposite of punk rock. It was sort of a subculture, you know?
Yeah.
So it has reached the mainstream quite rapidly. So Nintendo Switches are by and large sold out everywhere right now.
Right.
But that is the only way you can play it, yeah.
And Nintendo Switch is like, is it handheld?
It's both. It has a dock where you can plug it into your, you can place it very gently in the dock next to your television and it can connect to your television, or you can remove it and walk around with it. It's a really innovative little piece of technology with removable controllers and And it can just dock in to the side of the television like a PlayStation. It's very small. It's a very lightweight little machine.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, when I was a kid and I was playing my Nintendo Entertainment System, Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers and the like. Yeah. I mean, the maximum social capacity of that was me and my brother, and occasionally my granny would play with us as well. But like these days, it's not like that. There's a real social element to gaming, isn't there?
A huge social element, and that isn't for everybody. You know, games for many of us who grew up with consoles. I was 6 when I got my Super Nintendo for my Holy Communion, and it was something you played alone, or you invited people around to bear witness to Mario. You know, it was a very domestic experience. You know, not unlike much entertainment, I suppose, in the way that we have now. The internet has sort of democratized how we all experience entertainment together. Yeah. So, but then again, for many years, people have been playing multi-million player RPGs online, like World of Warcraft. War games like Call of Duty attract huge quantities of people. Fortnite, obviously, was a phenomenon. And that's an esport, so people compete to play Fortnite well for millions and millions of euros and dollars. It is a game. Video games now are something that happen very much together as a community apart, rather than just children and families alone in their homes.
I have two questions for you about the competing for millions. So first of all, how does that work? Where do the millions come from? How explain that to me.
Sponsors, like any other sport, I suppose, right? Esports is something that I have been tiptoeing around myself. Every year I watch a conference called Games Done Quick, which is a charity conference where people get together to play video games extremely fast. For example, Super Mario Brothers, I think the world record is 10 minutes completing that entire game. So people gather around. Yeah, it's amazing to watch. So people gather around to watch these games played perfectly, beyond perfectly. So instead of being a game where you fail and you play, it's played like a piece of music or played like a symphony, right? So people gather to watch the game executed perfectly and raise money for Doctors Without Borders or another charity every year. Whereas the commercial end of esports, it's all sponsor money. So many of the e-athletes, these young men, always young men, there are very few young women in the field, as you can imagine, are sponsored by various different companies, and the events are sponsored because so many people watch them.
And do you think that the reason that there are fewer young women than there are young men is because so many of the games are violent and kind of around war and those kinds of things, which seem to be more attractive to men than women?
I would say for a long time that was the case. Yeah, I think that there's a cultural, like, the reason I think that less, that video games have only become as apparently popular as they are now, as clearly popular as they are now, surpassing the film industry, even in financial takings, there's a barrier to entry to video games. You have to own the object, or in the past you would have had to visit an arcade.
Yeah.
You know? So there are barriers to entry everywhere, and there's cultural barriers to entry. For a long time it was, trust me, I know, I was there. It was not a charming or interesting personality to be a girl who played video games.
Right.
So it's something that took, though many, many girls and women did. Things are just progressing and, again, equalizing over time. I think more women play video games now than men, if you include browser games and phone games. Women still have the interest in playing, but you're right, possibly the play that we want to engage in isn't war.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair, you know?
That's really interesting. It's interesting to learn about the way that things are changing as well, and that, you know, a game like Animal Crossing is such a huge hit. I think that says a lot. Sarah, to be honest, I've got a million more questions for you, so I think we're just going to have to talk about this again, because we did not have enough time to delve deeply into this. But now I want a Nintendo Switch, now that I know I can't have one. I'm desperate for one, so thank you for doing that to me.
No problem.
I hope you have a super day. If people want to read more about this, Sarah wrote about this recently for The Guardian, so if you hit her up on Twitter, you'll find her. She's Grifsky there. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks, Louise.
Have a great day. Bye.
Louise McSherry. Weekends from 9 on 2FM.